We have spent the first part of the year looking at what the Bible says about loving horizontally, about loving each other. We've looked at the beliefs that we should hold, the practices we are to employ, and the virtues that should be evident in our lives. We'll spend the second part of the year looking at what the Bible says about loving vertically, about loving the Lord. So turn in your Bible with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. The woman attended a presentation given by a famous philosopher. She had been invited by an acquaintance of hers, and wishing to be polite, she accepted. She had also attended the lecture because she was curious to find out for herself this man's message. And why it held such great allure to so many. She had heard of this man several times and for a good while. So after the presentation, she approached the man. In the course of the brief conversation, she mentioned her observation of the man's disregard for the Bible and what it had to say, particularly about life and living. Man was quite proud of himself and his thinking, and the man agreed with the woman's assessment. Ah, the Bible, it's a book of myths, it's a book of fables, lies, he said. And to that she offered a challenge. She challenged the man to find 12 people who, after living life according to the philosophy he espoused, could be found to have been happier, more productive, better citizens. Because, she said, I can show you 100 or more I know personally who have lived their life according to the Bible and are happier, more productive, and better citizens. Why is that? Why is that? What is the cause that would have this kind of effect on life and living? How is it that the woman could find 100, but the philosopher would struggle to find 12? Life and living as the Lord intends begins with what you believe about the Bible. So this morning I challenge you to examine what you truly do believe about the Bible. We're going to read Psalm 119, verses 1 through 24. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed. When I call upon your commandments, I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. The Bible speaks to life and living. The Bible speaks to life and living because it is God's word. The psalm is in honor of the Lord's revelation of himself. And it goes through the Hebrew alphabet, and each section, if your Bible is like mine, has the Hebrew letter above it. And so it's broken up that way. And so the psalmist speaks of the law of the Lord, the Torah, over and over, in which God has made his character and his purpose known for us. If I didn't learn anything else in my D-Men studies, I remember reading this, and it has stuck with me. Particularly about the law, we sometimes say, well, we're New Testament Christians, and we are. Why did God give these laws? They seem so abstract. They seem so nonsensical in some regards. And I remember the author of a book saying, you need to figure out why God's law is there, because there's a reason. I don't know about you, but a good cheeseburger is a good thing every once in a while. But there's a reason why the Jewish people who grew up and lived and are still would be considered Orthodox today, there's a reason why they have a two separate kitchens, one for milk and one for meat. And why you won't go into an Orthodox Jewish restaurant and find meat and milk mixed. The way it was described to me was that the enzyme or whatever it is in our body that would carry whatever the meat gives us or whatever the milk gives us is like a seat on a bus. And once that seat's taken, the other can't sit there. And so we need to understand. So the writer of the psalm is talking about the Torah. God has made his character and his purpose for us known. And he said, blessed are those who obey his testimonies. Testimonies is the word used of only of things affirming permanence and unequivocal facts. I don't know about you, but I get tired sometimes of this transitory life where everything changes, where everything in our world changes, and God's word is not one of those things because it is there, it is permanent. And so we are to build our lifestyle on his ways because he knows best. What was there, six kids down here this morning? Six cute little kids. Six cute little kids, they're going to have to figure out if they're going to trust their parents' ways to know best or go their own way. Six cute little kids are going to have to figure out if they think God's ways are best or not. And you were one of those six at one point. And the truth be told, we're still one of those six because we're still trying to figure out, we're still trying to determine if we really do believe that God knows best. And so the Lord has appointed his word for us, and he has allocated what Scripture says are his precepts, his teachings, that he has given it to us. And so that's why Paul could say Scripture is inspired by God, literally God breathed, and is profitable for living. If you go back to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews said that God spoke to us long ago through the prophets, but in these latter days through Jesus, his Son. And John chapter 1 affirms that Jesus was the Word, the Logos, the very essence of God. The very thing that God wanted to communicate to us, he did it through Jesus Christ. And then at the end of the Gospel of John, John writes that all this was written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible is God's word, his message to us. I want to say I saw this bumper sticker just the other day. It used to be popular years back. The bumper sticker read this: God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, the problem with that bumper sticker is I would assert to you that that is a bit of dangerous theology. Whether you believe it or not, if God said it, that settles it. He didn't ask you for your opinion. And so we need to understand that what God says settles it. We're living today in an age of isms. And I could list for you 8 or 10 that are tearing us apart. as a country, as a people. One of them is the idea of relativism, where truth is what you want it to be. Another way of saying that is you've heard the expression that might makes right. Well, no, it doesn't. But this idea of relativism is whatever you convince yourself that truth is. If killing is okay in one setting where you want it, in other words, abortion, why isn't it right in any setting? What do we have? Two or three states where self, and I don't remember the term. Say that again. Euthanasia, that's the term. But the idea of self-assisted, medically assisted suicide, euthanasia. If it's okay, if killing is okay in one regard, why isn't it okay in another? Another idea that is getting us is that we're buying into stuff that. Do you know that one of the isms that we're dealing with as a country today is transgenderism? That's a new term. Ravi Zacharias said, "Our inability to alter what is actual frustrates our grandiose delusions of being sovereign over everything." Another ism is the idea of narcissism, where love of self has pushed people to do and say bizarre things so that they can have their 15 minutes or even 15 seconds of fame. So what is your opinion of God's Word? What is your opinion of the Bible? The Bible speaks to life and living. The Bible speaks to life and living because it results in the best life. What the Bible says about living produces the best life. In verse 5, the psalmist turns subjective. Around that, he was more or less objective. But in verse 5, he turns subjective. And he laments that his own nature is away from God and his teaching because God's ways are best. And then he says, you know, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, whose way of life is whole, complete, faultless, pure, because they built their lives on God's Word. Blessed has the idea of going in a straight way of prosperity and successful living. How blessed are those whose aim is on Christ, and how blessed are those who never take his eyes off of him. So the person who keeps God's commandments will not be ashamed or confounded or disappointed or have some sort of disconcerted feeling or experience humiliation. Henry David Thoreau said, famous writer, philosopher, said, "Men live in quiet desperation." And I would assert to you that is hogwash for the believer. That even when life is flying apart, even when our heads begin reeling, that God is still in control. You would have never heard of this lady if her father had not married Jackie Kennedy back in the late 60s or early 70s. Christina Onassis was the daughter of Aristotle Onassis. Mr. Onassis was one of the wealthier men alive at that point in history. And I remember hearing an account of her, and I remember thinking, poor little rich girl. Her life was literally flying apart because she did not build her life on Christ. Money did not give her a good life. And it certainly did not give her the best life, because only Jesus does that. We seek intimacy in relationships, but we go about it all wrong. We talk about safe sex, but there is no condom for the mind. Would divorce be as rampant if there was less sexual promiscuity, or if we took God's word more seriously? Would we have AIDS if we followed God's word on sexuality? I remember as a kid, probably junior high-ish, when at school we would get the talk. I think back then that there might have been 6 sexually transmitted diseases, and there's what, 20-some? Would we have substance abuse problems if people lived by God's word? Abuse happens, whether it be alcohol or drugs or whatever. Abuse happens when the pain of life becomes so great that we have to deaden it some way. Well, I'm not trying to sugarcoat things. Life hurts. Have you figured that out? But God gives us relief. That a relationship with Him, a life built on His Word, gives us relief. The Bible is about life and living. What is your opinion of God's Word? Even though the Bible speaks to life and living, you must pay careful attention to do what it says. The psalmist asks how one is to keep oneself pure, how one is to keep oneself transparent, how one is to keep oneself innocent. And the answer, it's a short answer, but it's going to take you the rest of your life to live out by keeping, here's the answer, by keeping God's word. We have to keep God's word. That's kind of the idea about why is this law? God, why did you give these crazy laws? I kind of like pork. Little barbecue sandwich every once in a while is a pretty good thing. Well, if you were camping for 40 years, it might be best not to try to roast barbecue a goat or a pig. We are to pay careful attention to what he says. The psalmist talked about walking in the law of the Lord. And so that's the characteristics of our lifestyle. We need to do what God's word says in that continuing relationship. It's not a one and done deal. It's a lifetime relationship. Then he talked about observing his testimonies, keeping and obeying God's word. There's that word again. There was that word in the first part of the what we read. It says, seek for the Lord with all your heart. I don't know about you, but I have trouble seeking things. If I take a quick glance and I don't find it, I declare that it's not there. But it is. We are to seek Him with all of our heart. We are to seek Him with all of our heart. And the truth of it is that you usually get what you pursue. You know, we speak of pursuing a higher education. If we pursue it long enough, we get to wear that funky hat and the crazy gown, and we're declared to be graduated. Because we get what we pursue, and we are to pursue God's word. Do you seek Christ with all your heart? Paul didn't say, read to show yourself approved. He said, study to show yourself approved. Imagine this scenario for a moment. You have an infection somewhere in your body. Does it do any good to have the medicine if you don't take it? Would you get well if you had multiple bottles of medicine but didn't take it? How many batches of Jell-O have been made and did not set correctly because the person following the instructions didn't follow the instructions? Boil the water. Well, that just doesn't make any sense. If I'm going to stick it in the refrigerator to set, why should I boil it? Because if you don't boil it, it doesn't set. And we live life that way. We hear what God's word has to say to us, and we raise ourselves up to the same standard as God's word. Well, that just doesn't make any sense to me. I want to suggest to you that we need to live out God's word, whether we in our human minds. Did you catch what Amanda Jessup was saying? That God's ways and his thoughts are above our ways and our thoughts. And that we need to make the decision this morning as an individual, as a church, as a community, that we are going to follow God's word. We're going to live out God's word. So are you this morning willing to study for yourself Scripture? Are you willing to store it away in your heart? Notice that in all this, it didn't say pick and choose, you know, that which you like or that which is convenient. It says keep God's word. Accepting Christ as a child may get you to heaven, but why ignore Him and His word now and live a life of frustration and anger and bitterness? God said, I want you to have a good life, but here's how to do it. And we have to decide. So what is your opinion of God's word? There were two families from the state of New York that were studied closely. One was the Jukes family and the other the Edwards family. They both lived, or the fathers, the grandfathers, however you wanted to term them, they both lived in approximately the same time. And the thing discovered in the study is remarkable, but not altogether surprising. That like begets like. Disregard for the Bible rears its ugly head in the life of the family. The first family studied was the family of Max Jukes. Max was an unbelieving man, and he married a woman of like character who lacked principle. Among the known descendants, over 1,200 were studied. 310 became professional vagrants. 440 physically wrecked their lives by living a decadent lifestyle. 130 were sent to prison, 7 for murder, for an average of 13 years. There were 100 who became alcoholics, 60 became habitual thieves, 190 were public prostitutes. Of the 20 who learned a trade, 10 did so while in prison. It cost the state, and remember, we're talking 200-300 years ago, it cost the state $1.5 million, and they made no contribution to society whatsoever. In about the same era, the family of Jonathan Edwards came on the scene. Jonathan Edwards, a godly man who recognized the Bible as God's word, married a woman of like character. 300 of their family became ministers, missionaries, and theological professors. Over 100 were college professors. Over 100 became lawyers, 30 of which became judges. 60 of them became physicians. Over 60 authored books, good books and classics. 14 became president of a university. There were numerous giants of industry from this family. 3 became U.S. congressmen and 1 became vice president of the United States. All because the Bible was recognized as speaking to life and living. So what is your opinion of God's word? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will build our lives on what Scripture says. Can you say the same thing?